Accession number 17734, Reel 5.
Mr. Passmore, Reel 5.
Yes. After that, I was promoted captain and put in charge of the cash office at Salerno, which dealt with about five big base hospitals that were there, a lot of RASC depots, other depots. From then onwards, my wartime experiences were fairly commonplace because I wasn't anywhere near any fighting or anything exciting. I was a bit cross that it was up to that time when I'd been, before I'd been promoted. When we had landed in Sicily, the brigadier in charge of the pay corps and the administration to be set up in Italy had come from Egypt. He was a First World War veteran, and he'd said to me, as soon as we set up units here, you're one of the people that I'm going to promote to be captain. What quite happened to him, I don't know, whether he fell ill or what, but he was replaced by a colonel from First Army, who brought with him to 8th Army HQ his own particular people, who one could see were being promoted all the way around you, and therefore it was 12 months from landing in Sicily until I was promoted before I got my captaincy. At the end of the war, towards the end of the war, the powers that be could see that war was coming to an end, and I was told that I was due for my majority, and I would get it if I would agree to sign on for 3 years. And I said, no, I want to get back to my profession. Most chartered accountants were exempt, and people that I'd been training in 1939 were now managers in large firms doing very well, married and everything else. I wanted to get back to England. I'd been away altogether at that time for 5 years. And so I turned it down. Some months later, the same approach was made to me with a suggestion if I would sign on for 12 months. And again, I turned it down because the war had just about come to an end, the war in Europe at that stage. I was foolish, as it turned out, because I got home on Python, which is 4 years continuous service overseas. Came home, had a month's leave in January 1946. And about that time, the army was so short of officers that they decided that DMOB was, for officers, was to be delayed for 3 months. Sorry. If in fact I had therefore accepted the offer of majority, I would have, and stayed on, the 1 year would have been up 6 weeks after I actually was demobbed, so I would have had an increased disability and, sorry, demob gratuity, an increased pay for 12 months. I missed out on that, and 6 weeks wouldn't have made any difference to my civilian career. I think that's probably all I can tell you at the moment, because the period that I was in the pay corps after I left 5DIV was a pretty humdrum affair. I was in places that were bombed and shelled and so on, but not actually fighting. My period in 151 Battery, I'm very proud of, because the fellows there put up with an awful lot and did very well. After I was demobbed and came home, I had considerable amount of trouble with my back, and the result was eventually I was given a 20% disability pension, which I've drawn since about 1960. That, I think, probably ends it, unless you want to ask any questions.
What do you feel now in 1998 about having served in the Second World War?
I don't think I could have lived with myself if I hadn't. I must admit there have been many times when I've met people who used every excuse not to serve, and as a result made a lot of money during the war. Even in my own profession there were people who didn't serve, who were younger than me, who finished up very much better off because they were able to get themselves into good commercial positions during the war. I came back and, all right, my old firm had to take me back. But the constant cry was, well, of course, you've forgotten everything you ever learnt and things have altered since you were studying anyway. Many of my friends joined the army later, by which time it was better organised. They went over to France, some of them only towards the end of the war. They achieved higher rank than I did because they stayed in England where they were under people's notice. I seem to be in places where there was no hierarchy. I was just one person on my own, a divisional cashier with a divisional. He's the only pay corps man there. I've never heard of another divisional cashier who did anything other than sit as far back as possible and dish out cash. I did a liaison job because it needed to be doing until they got reinforcements to take over properly.
Some people say to me things about how accurate people's memories are when they're reminiscing about the war. How accurate do you feel your own memories are? How truthful do you think your memories are about the war?
Oh, I think that we forget the horrific times. We remember the funny things, we remember the pleasant things.
But some of the things you said are neither horrific, funny, or pleasant. If you take, for example, the story about collecting the money in high denomination notes in the suitcase, or if you take the instance of moving the millions of pounds worth of money from Egypt to Palestine, they don't come into either any of those categories. But do you think they're accurate accounts?
Oh yes, I'm sure of that. No, they stick in your mind because in one case you wonder what's behind it, in the other case you've done it and been frightened of what was probably, at a guess, 30 or 40 million pounds in total that you're taking round with just three of you, knowing that if anything went wrong you'd be blamed for it, and then afterwards hearing that we had said that Egypt would never be abandoned, and I'm quite sure in my own mind that that was in case Egypt was abandoned.
or to take one or two other instances from the early part of your account, do you think it's accurate, your estimate of relations between British army people and French civilians in 39-40 in France, as far as you experienced it?
Well, most of them were extremely friendly. There were obviously, as I say, the communist. We didn't know who a communist was. All we were hearing was that, A, there were communists, and to be careful. On the other hand, I mean, the people that I was meeting as another rank, as Lance Bombardier most of that time, were ordinary small shopkeepers, other French ranks, a few of them, farm labourers, waiters, estaminet owners, who had, I think, no reason to be other than to be friendly.